Archbishop, ladies and gentlemen, before I go, I know I'm here ready to open this exhibition, but I'm also slightly hesitant because the last thing I'm going to do is compete with the Archbishop in terms of his brilliance at making speeches and having, or sermons, and having witnessed when he came, when we went to the special celebrations around the Dickens anniversary at Poets' Corner recently in Westminster Abbey, when the Archbishop went so brilliantly off-piste as to be quite remarkable. I don't know how you do it. It was the most wonderful lesson in Dickens' relationship to religion, morality, and everything else. And how your staff catch up with you, Archbishop, I do not know. But it was a remarkable tour de force, and I can only congratulate you. But when it comes to the prayer book, ladies and gentlemen, I'm so pleased to have had this opportunity of joining you here today, seeing a little bit of the exhibition. Inevitably, I never had enough time to get round all those fascinating exhibits. And having been educated a little bit at Cambridge, I could tell at once that the exhibition had been organised by a former undergraduate at Trinity College, Cambridge. Professor Brown Cummings has done a remarkable job, I think. Having looked a little bit at his book on the Book of Common Prayer, I was also fascinated to discover a little bit more of the history behind all this, because what so many of us who are rather ignorant never seem to understand is just how much argument and conflict went on ceaselessly about how to devise a prayer book which suited most people. So it would seem that the 1662 version was a remarkable exercise in compromise. And as Professor Cummings put, there are a few enthusiasts and diehards left who actually do rather appreciate that Book of Common Prayer. And as somebody who was brought up on that prayer book, day after day, year after year, Sunday after Sunday, school worship after school worship, evening prayer, communion, everything, those words do sink and into your soul in some extraordinary way. And one of the things I've never understood is why there is such an anxiety about accessibility, when in fact, if we think about it, we all get older, and we're not all 18 or 16 forever. And that even though you may not understand those words at that age, it's only when you get a bit older and you've lived through life and had all sorts of experiences and you've suffered and you've survived, perhaps, that you then realize just how valuable those forms of words are, just how valuable the sense of the sacred is in our lives, and how, when you are up against it and you have terrible moments to endure or overcome, whether it's being in war or faced with some appalling difficulty or even facing death, then those words, those wonderful words, come back to you if you've been lucky enough to have absorbed them over your lifetime. So I do think that that sense of the beauty of holiness is something of enormous importance. And I hope that just a celebration of the Queen's Diamond Jubilee gives us, like so many others, an opportunity to celebrate all these things. That's the marvellous thing about jubilees. So many people can do so many wonderful things, whether it's planting an avenue, planting a wood, organising a pageant on the Thames, or special services throughout this country, in our great cathedrals and our parish churches. It is a wonderful opportunity to celebrate the things that actually we hold sacred. So nothing could give me greater pleasure than to open this exhibition, ladies and gentlemen.